And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road is in Tampa, Florida. What's going on?
Actually, Venice. Technically, Venice. Here in the kitchen of...
is in Venice, Florida.
Yes, the kitchen of one Phyllis Pratt, my 94-year-old grandmother, the best person I'll ever know, who, hold on, I'm going to show you.
Okay.
94 years old, and what does she do? She makes me her famous caramel fudge brownies.
Oh, that's breakfast. Awesome. That's amazing. Breakfast,
okay. She also, like, got the, you know, the coffee maker all ready to go. So, couldn't give too many shout-outs to Phyllis Pratt.
Really, probably truly a breakfast of champions that you're about to enjoy. It's good yes. stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Michelle, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing good. And I'm so jealous of those brownies, first off. Second off, just shout out to all the grandmas out there because they're just amazing. They really are just one of a kind. And yeah, I'm excited to see you talking to her during the breaks today, Joe.
She's still sleeping right now.
But. Okay.
Yes.
Come on, yeah. Phyllis, get up. We're rolling this morning.
She's a night owl. We were up till almost midnight last night with my aunt and uncle, too, who were here. So, yeah, Phyllis, I say sleep in.
Yeah, big times. That's good stuff. I like it. Joe, this is one of those days as like a sports talk radio host. There's not much effort that goes in, not much show planning that happens today. We got a lot to get to.
We do. I mean, this is one of those days that's so easy. It's like, you know, there's too much stuff. But before we get into that, I want to do another shout out.
Okay.
To Michelle, although also somewhat mad, Michelle, that you did not tell us about this yesterday.
She did.
She did tell us about this yesterday?
Okay. In my defense, after you left the show, it was like quickly at the end.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, so Rexroy was gone. I forgot about that.
Okay. Okay. All right. Good. Because every day is a day, which that's fine. Every day is a day, as this show has pointed out. We're the only show that's going to tell you the truth about that.
Yep.
But so yesterday was International Women's Day. So I did see a couple tweets about this, but I have no idea. You know, I don't know what these days are, but this is like a huge Women's Day Leadership Summit, Play Like a Girl, and you emceed it.
Yes, I did. It was awesome. I went right from work yesterday, and then it was like till 6:30, and then I passed out on my couch at 7 p.m. last night. So I'm like full night sleep. But no, it was an awesome summit. Play Like a Girl in Nashville is like a nonprofit, and they mentor young girls through sports, and this focused on STEM, like getting women involved into the STEM field. So science, tech, electronics, math, and I just have to give this one girl a shout out. She was 14 years old. She came from California. She was a speaker. Her name's Samira Mehta, and she started coding at 6. Guys, are you ready for this? And then she was asked a question about, like, how do you stay motivated and stuff. And she was like, well, I'm working on this research project right now. She's like, I won't get too into it, but just basically I'm working on a technology that'll help me spot ovarian cancer significantly quicker than they can now. So she's like, that's the research project. Just mic drop. Just some incredible women speaking yesterday. I was in awe of all of them. It was a pleasure to MC it and get to meet all these people. But some people
you said she was 14?
14, guys. She started coding at 6. Yeah. And she spoke probably more eloquently than me. I'm like, are you really 14? She's like, yeah, I've got a couple different projects. I'm like, okay, this girl's going to like cure cancer, change the world. I was just in awe. So it was a pretty amazing event. But thanks for the shout out.
These are the people that are going to save the world, man. And seriously, emceeing an event like that. I can't speak for Robbie. I could never do something like that. The stuff you do at Vanderbilt, I could never do that. That's seriously take a bow.
Well, thank you guys. Thank you so much. I'm giving a little hair flip, a little pat on the back over in the studio. Nice.
Very nicely done, Michelle. We're very proud of you here on the show.
Thank you guys. I'm proud of you too. Cause you kill it every day. Look at a positive little circle going on.
Mutual admiration society.
That's what we do here. Joe, what a win last night for the Nashville Predators. They get it done 2-1 against the Dallas Stars, a game where I mean, it basically played out exactly how I thought it would in terms of the style of play. I mean, you know, when you play Dallas, it's going to be an absolute bloodbath out there. And it was really difficult to get to the middle of the ice. It was a playoff style grind, and the Predators fall behind 1-0 in the third period on, you know, basically a seeing eye shot from the point from John Klingberg. And you're thinking to yourself, my goodness, are they about to get beat 1-0 at home? Because I thought the Predators did really almost an unbelievable job of defending last night. They were really good against Dallas. And then all of a sudden the game changes. Jamie Benn hits Philip Forsberg. Ekholm takes issue with that. It's 4-on-4. And I thought to myself at the time, I was like, 4-on-4, that creates a little bit more room out there. I think that could help the Predators. And sure enough, it did. Carrier makes a great play. Johansson gets the puck, goes forehand to backhand, ties it up at 1. And then with 1:22 left, Roman Josi scores the game winner. That's a gigantic win last night. Number one, to get the 2 points, but to get it in regulation, that's huge for the Predators last night.
Yeah, and I thought the exact same thing. I thought they were better, but they are about to lose one zip, and it couldn't generate much. Tremendous play by Carrier to leave that puck for Johansson. And then Fabro, you know, with a really big play to make Josi's game winner possible. I still, like, are we sure that wasn't Forsberg's goal?
I think it hit off the Dallas defender in front.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I've watched that about 20 times and I can't really figure it out. But, missile from Josi, just, you know, bang, bang, bang. Like you said, all those things happen in the third period. And that's a big deal. No, look, a lot of hockey left. I mean, either of these teams could finish 10, 12 points ahead of the other one. But to avoid falling, you know, 3 points back of Dallas, to now leapfrog them back into, fourth place and start this week like that. I mean, I think there's a new biggest win of this season. Because it's also momentum too, right? And it's leading into the next game, and I got to think that this is going to propel them.
Well, that was a clutch performance last night from the Predators in the third period. I mean, you need some of your big players to step up in those moments, and they did with Johansson tying it up, Josi scoring the game winner, and here we are, Josi 60 points, 54 games, 15 goals on the season. You know, we've talked about it. Is this the best hockey that he's ever played? Is this maybe the best season that we've ever seen a Nashville Predator have? I asked Josi after the game last night if this is the best he feels like he's ever played as a Predator. Here's what Josi had to say.
Is this the best that you felt playing hockey? Obviously, you've been doing this for a while now, but you're having an exceptional year. Is this the best you felt in a while playing hockey?
I don't know. I feel good. I think every year is a little different. There's different challenges every year within the team, but also with you personally. I think this year, I didn't like my year last year that much. I think I had more, and wasn't too happy about my year. And I tried to come back and be better as a player and as a leader, and be better for my team. But it's been good. I think, I mean, it's a lot of fun playing on this team. We play so hard every night, and I think it's a lot of fun. A lot of guys having great years, which obviously helps the team win.
That was Josi last night. I think it's interesting. He's brought up a few times this year how he was not happy with his year last year. And, you know, we've talked about it. I thought in the first half of last year, he was maybe trying to do too much. And then after the injury, came in and looked a little bit more like Roman Josi. If last year was motivating him this year, Predators ought to be thankful that the first half of last year happened, because it's made a huge difference in his game. And Ryan Johansson was a little less shy about it last night. He referred to him as, quote, Roman franchise record-breaking Josi last night in the post game. The guy is freaking unbelievable, and what a play last night by him to win the game for the Predators. I mean, defensively, he was unbelievable last night with some of the stuff he was doing, and offensively, you know, you have the big goal there at the end, but he continues to be the driver of this bus for this group, as you put it last night on Twitter.
Yes, and that's, like you said, I mean, that's what it is. It's in those moments, you know, can your top players deliver? And this was, this was an example. Everybody knew this was going to be the kind of game it was. Preds knew, Stars knew, everybody knew. But still, you know, there you go. They can play an airtight game if they need to, you know. So It's good practice for the playoffs. You got to get there. You got to get to the playoffs. But this is one of those games that should be a big help in that way.
My get the puck to Matt Luff t-shirt idea really took a hit last night with him being a healthy scratch. Nick Cousins back in the lineup. You know, Matt Luff, poor guy. Like I guess he should have scored three the other night. Stay in the lineup.
I guess, you know. I mean, what did Rocco have last year? Did he have four goal game four. Last year? Right.
Yeah.
He can't, you know, he's in Milwaukee. So yeah. Don't score goals and get yourself out of the lineup.
And of course, Ryan Johansson scored. I just have to throw it out there. So you're welcome, Ryan Johansson, for not picking you and picked a click.
I was going to say, wait, you picked him? But yes, no one got anything, right?
Yep. Big offer last night in Preds picked a click. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll continue that conversation on the other side. Also get into lots of money being thrown around in the NFL and by the Tennessee Titans as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Ryan, you've been around Roman for a long time. Is this maybe the best you've seen him play this season?
He's so good. He's so good. It's ridiculous. He's Roman franchise record breaker. You'll see. He's just bringing it every night. And he's our captain. He's our leader. And he's doing it on the ice every game. And not only offensively, but defensively as well in all the key situations. And proud of him and great to see him, doing his thing out there.
That was Ryan Johansson last night after the game, referring to Roman Josi as Roman franchise record breaker Josi last night. Is that how we're going to refer to Josi from now on? That's a long nickname.
FRB?
I guess so.
Franchise record breaker. FRB Josi? You can do that.
I like it.
How is the how's the new post game? So the post game changed yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like old times. You go to the locker room. They kind of bring players out and have different players going at the same time. It was cool. It was I kind of forgot what that was like. The players loved it too. They're like, wow, we don't have to walk all the way like halfway across the arena to get you guys anymore. That's great.
Good. Okay. Good. Progress.
George Kittle hanging out last night downstairs. It's good stuff. And a nice Philip Forsberg quarter zip. George Kittle hanging out, talking to the Preds staff, was very fascinated as to how the equipment works in the NHL and how much they were moving after the game. So George Kittle really in there last night.
Shout out to John Glenn, by the way, who tweeted about George Kittles twice in the same tweet. He called him George Kittles. So I tweeted to him, you know what I really love? I love the candy Skittle. Do you have any Skittle? And then eventually he got all mad on Twitter and made fun of my gout or whatever. But then later he texted me and said, I'm blaming your boy Stanley for making a Skittles joke just before I tweeted. It's all his fault. Is that true? You made a Skittles joke?
I did do that.
Okay. So let's blame you, I guess, for John Glennon not realizing that his name is George Kittle and not George Kittles.
I talked about Kittle and bits too. So, I mean, there's many, many different ways I could go with it. But, yes, I will take the fall for Glennon on this. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Kelton texting in says, best win of the season, no doubt. Love that grit. It always gives you a chance to win. I mean, you knew that was going to be the case last night. You're going to have to grind one out against the Stars. And that's not necessarily going to be the case every game. Like, different games require different styles of play, but honestly, like when I watch the Stars and the Predators play, to me, there's not much difference. They play pretty similarly in terms of the style that they bring to the table.
Yeah. I mean, it's some people don't like that stuff. I get it. A little bit more, a little bit more open ice kind of game, maybe a little bit more scoring. But I thought it was a really entertaining, intense game. Again, it was playoff-ish, and and just a big deal for the Preds to make the plays they did when they were up against it, because they were pushing for a while, 1-0. They're pushing a lot of the early stages of the third period, and it just looked like one of those. Well, they're just not going to figure it out here, and then you know, boom, boom, boom.
I just want to point out, I thought Ben Harper played pretty well last night.
You tweeted that.
I thought he was pretty good.
Grit your teeth when you tweeted that?
I didn't. I thought he was pretty good. And look, he had a big hit in the game. And Liam on the text line has photoshopped Josh Norman into the hit as well from Derrick Henry. It's good stuff. Great hit last night by Ben Harper. But even outside of the hit, I thought he played pretty well. So I figured I should take this opportunity to say that since I'm a hard on Ben Harper and Philip Myers.
All right. Well, there you go. See, it's not too late. It's not too late to get out of Robbie's doghouse, you know, Ben Harper and whoever else. So who would be in there now? Philip Myers, probably permanently.
He's in there right now. Yeah.
No, John but Hines, I mean, they,
John they, Hines is in there right solid. Now for not playing Matt Luff. That really ruined my t-shirt idea.
He'll be back. They're saving him for the playoffs.
That's right. That's
you get right. Two goals, like just you know, let's keep you hot and bring you back out in May.
So a big win for the Predators last night. That moves them ahead of the Stars in the standings. They're now 1 point up on the Stars, 1 point back of the Wild, who got a big win last night, and now 3 points back of the Blues, who lost last night to the Ottawa Senators. So that's a tough one for the Blues last night. So all of a sudden, I mean, the Ducks got destroyed last night by Chicago, which I don't know if that's good or bad for the Predators heading into Thursday night's game. They got beat 8-3 last night by Chicago. And you got the Ducks coming up Thursday, St. Louis on Saturday. This could get pretty interesting this week. You win these next two games, you're going to be in a pretty good spot at the end of the week. So we'll see how the Predators are able to handle that. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So Rex Rowe, tag deadline day yesterday in the NFL came and went, and there was no franchise tag placed on Harold Landry. And my thought to myself at the time was, "Woo, man, are they really about to let him walk? Are they that far apart that they're just so concerned with having this tag money be on the books for next year that they're going to try to work a deal over this next week? And if not, they're comfortable letting him walk." And then about, I don't know, 6 hours later, four or 5 hours later, Harold Landry has a massive, massive deal that he signs with the Tennessee Titans. 5 years, $87.5 million, $52.5 million of which is guaranteed. And according to Paul Kaharsky and Jared Stillman as well, the cap hit is a little bit more than $5 million. I think Jared said cap hit at $5.05 million for Harold Landry next year. Your reaction to the day for Harold Landry yesterday not being tagged and then signing a gargantuan contract with the Tennessee Titans?
Well, I think it's the right move. And I think it's funny because I think there were a few hours there when the tag deadline passed when a lot of people were like, okay, well, no Landry, they move on, and you got Rashad Weaver, and you know, there's some low price free agents and all that stuff, and it never made sense to me to not keep this together. I understand anyone who says, okay, he's not Khalil Mack, you know, he's not one of these elite edge guys who should be getting huge money, but I think this deal is fair for someone who just had 12 sacks going into free agency, but especially we said it a million times, man, if you can count on a guy to be there every week and be healthy, essentially healthy relative to an NFL player, is always available, does everything, plays every snap. I mean, you have to factor that into this. You have to factor in like what he means to the locker room and all of that. Not just is he that elite, you know, pure pass rushing giant. I mean, he had 12 sacks. He benefited from others around him. But that chemistry, the four of them, and again, with Bud Dupree still not for most of the year, you know, I think full speed or you know, fully what he can be. That chemistry was so good. You had to try to keep that together. It's the best thing this team does. Other than give the ball to Derrick Henry. The best two things about this team, give the ball to Derrick Henry and rush the passer, which is weird to say just 1 year after we wondered if they would ever rush the passer, but that's how it goes. Yeah, but when you find something, you keep it. So I was bullish about them keeping them all along, and I think that this is the right move. And you know, like you said, you're talking about if you want to compare this to the tag scenario, you're talking about $13 million less on the cap this year, and that's $13 million more you can work with.
Yep, $13 million more you can work with. That's a big deal for this Titans team. I thought when he didn't get tagged yesterday, I started thinking about it. I was like, okay, let's say he walks and he's gone. Is that the Titans saying to us, all right, we're going to commit more money to the offense in free agency this offseason? Are they going to go get a Zach Ertz level tight end? Like, if you didn't pay Harold Landry, are you going to go spend a lot of money on a tight end? I mean, I allowed those thoughts to creep into my head yesterday. I mean, I still think they're going to go get a tight end, which, by the way, they continue to fall off the board with a franchise tag yesterday as well. I still think that'll be in the cards, but you know, the $13 million savings is huge. Now, I think they're currently over the cap by $7 million, roughly, I think is the number that I saw. So they're going to have to get down below that by March 16th next week. So I would imagine at some point in the next week, you'll see some cuts coming along for the Tennessee Titans, and we'll see whether or not Roger Saffold's a part of that. I think he's still a prime candidate to be cut by this group. But it was when I saw the contract after the first period last night in the Predators game and Harold Landry was going to be here, I mean, it's pretty comforting to, especially with some of the moves we saw in the AFC yesterday, which we'll get to the Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson stuff a little bit later in the show. Like, you're going to need a pass rush with the schedule the Titans have next year that can affect the quarterback. And knowing that those four guys are going to be back here next year has got to be a great feeling for John Robinson. Obviously, there's work to do offensively, and you got to figure that part of it out. But knowing that those four guys are going to be back, hopefully they can stay healthy, that's a pretty big deal for this Titans defense to hopefully pick up where they left off this past year.
No doubt. And it's, you know, it's obviously a big domino in the whole, or I don't know, big puzzle piece, whatever you want to do for an analogy for this in terms of what the rest of the offseason is going to look like. I mean, I think Saffold, Jackrabbit Jenkins, or maybe he's Janoris when he's cut, and Kendall Lamb. I think those three are locks. You know, I understand anybody saying, but Saffold, run blocker, why do you want to, you know, how are you going to move on from that? I don't see how you don't. And then the Zach Cunningham thing, really interesting, because that's really the only question left on D, other than, you know, if they draft people. And then, of course, the question of Caleb Farley's progress and healing and all that. But the personnel question left on defense to me is Zach Cunningham. I mean, I continue to look at it and say, man, if you want to really do stuff on offense and, you know, maybe really chase someone at tight end that might be a little bit higher price tag, that seems to me an obvious place to look. But they've been also pretty outspoken about wanting to keep him. If they can figure a way to keep him with what they've done now with the front four, I mean, it's a very promising looking defense.
We'll take your thoughts on the Harold Landry deal for the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What do you think of the deal, and what comes next for the Titans now that Harold Landry is locked down? We'll get to all that coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexford, what do you make of the dollar amount for Harold Landry's contract? 5 years, $87.5 million. 52.5 guaranteed. I want to say Bud Dupree had around $35 million guaranteed. What do you make of the numbers and how that worked out for Harold Landry?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about what I would have expected. And yes, Bud Dupree was $35 million, 5 year, 82.5, but 35 guaranteed, more guaranteed money for Landry. you know, and look, I mean, based on their careers, I mean, I think you could make the case. You know, you think about the difference between these two contracts. Bud Dupree coming off, you know, an ACL, had been in the league a while. Certainly had had some very good seasons in Pittsburgh. There was all the whole thing of, you know, TJ Watt. You know, it's kind of the same thing people are knocking Landry on now too, right? You know, is it him or is it others around him? If you isolate this player, how good is this player? But you know, Landry coming off the season he did, and again, no health concerns, nothing like that. You sign this player, you feel really good about having this player every single week, which is a huge thing in the NFL. So I think potentially Harold Landry could have gotten a little bit more than this out there. That'd be my guess, because someone's going to overpay out there for someone who just had 12 sacks.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good deal for him still. You know, he knows it works here. He knows he produces here. This is all he knows in the NFL. I think that he genuinely, you know, likes it here and likes playing for Vrabel and all that stuff and with his teammates. So there's a, you know, that's why you stay and maybe give up a little bit of money. You still get that a big chunk guaranteed, which is huge. A lot of bonus money this year with the way the deal's structured. And, yeah, I know some people are going to look at this and say, man, the Titans, you're investing way too much in one position. You know, you were, and I understand the concern there. I do. But let's remember again with Bud Dupree, you know, if you can end up sticking with Landry, you know, and you can move on from Bud Dupree after next year, you know, relatively cheaply. I'll get those numbers here quickly. You know, if it doesn't work out with him, if it does work out with him, yeah, you're going to be investing a ton of money in that position this year. But my gosh, what's your pass rush going to look like? I mean, if the Titans are going to really be a player, and we're going to talk about quarterback stuff, and it's, you know, you look at them and relative to the AFC and quarterbacks, and it doesn't look great, but this is how you try to make up that ground by being the biggest terrorizers of quarterbacks in the NFL.
Let's go to our text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a text that says Autry makes the pass rush go. Look at both the Colts and the Titans pass rush without him. That's coming from a texter on the text line. I don't know that I would identify DeNico Autry as the unquestioned, you know, number one engine that makes that thing go. But he's pretty darn important last year, no question about it. And that's part of what I think makes this Landry signing really good, is I think it's all four of them working together. Like, if I had to pick one that I give, I don't know, I guess the most credit to or whatever, it would be Simmons and the attention that he occupies. But Autry, no question about it, was awesome last year for the Titans.
Yeah, look, Autry is a huge difference maker. There's no doubt. I think the Colts severely missed him. And he made it was a great signing. Saying we're gonna find out about Bud Dupree, you know, and that investment and everything. It's already a lock. To me, Autry is one of the best free agent signings John Robinson has had in his time. And no question, he makes a huge difference. But I'm with you. If you want to rank these guys, I think number one is pretty simple. I think number one is Jeffrey Simmons. And I just think he and Autry played off each other so well, and, you know, at times lined up right next to each other, you know, at times running a twist, whatever. Then Autry's outside. I mean, he's a great chess piece because he really can play anywhere. And, you know, they did a lot of different things. At times they'd put Simmons in between a guard and a tackle, or they'd move Landry and bring him up the middle. I mean, it's a great quartet to do things with, especially again, if Bud Dupree is going to come out next year and be more of what he was in Pittsburgh, watch out.
Well, that's the thing. And look, things, I shouldn't say rarely in the NFL, but a lot of times things in the NFL don't quite play out the way that we think they will. Look no further than the Titans offense this past year that we thought could be absolutely lethal, and it was not. And there was a variety of different reasons for that. But Bud Dupree, I thought towards the end of the season, I mean, the knee was healthy And, you know, he had the abdominal injury last year, but he got over that. I mean, he was impacting games by the end of the season, and he looked more like Bud Dupree of old. If that's what you're going to get next year, is there not a chance that the pass rush could be even better than it was this past year? That's what I'm hoping for if I'm John Robinson. I don't know that that necessarily equates to, you know, more than 12 sacks for Harold Landry, but I think as a whole, collectively, if they can stay healthy and Bud Dupree is fully healthy now and that knee is healed, I think there's a chance the pass rush is even better than it was a year ago. And if that's the case, I mean, your defense is going to be pretty darn good next year.
Right. Well, let's look at the whole thing. So Rashad Weaver comes back. Okay. Maybe you have a really nice depth young player there to help out and situationally be a factor. You know, Naquan Jones was a huge find last year. You know, kind of replaced Tyre Tart, who got hurt. But, you know, I mean, both those guys, you got good depth there. You know, think about, you know, if you do have Long and Cunningham inside, what that could be for a full season. Think about Elijah Molden in his second year. You know, Hooker and Byard a second year together. I mean, really, and then Fulton. I mean, there's one spot, you know, on that defense. If that's what it looks like, and all those guys are healthy and everything, and if you can shore up that one other cornerback spot and be better there than you were last year with Jenkins, I don't see how it's not a really, really good defense in the NFL. But to your point, it's a good thing to remember what we thought the offense was going to be last year and then what it was.
Go back to the text line. Got a texter that says, did Byard restructure his contract for Landry like he said he would, or is that a piece of information we will never find out? This is coming from Josh from Jackson.
And I responded on the text line. My first response on the new text line.
We do have a new text line.
Yes, for us. Same number. It's not different. It's not different for you folks out there. But I just said, I think Byard was just saying that to let people know, hey, like, we need to sign him. You know, like, he's already had his deal done. You know, Byard was basically like, hey, man, I'll do my deal. Can we just get Landry back? You know what I mean? He wasn't actually saying, please, you know, here's my contract. So I don't think so. I don't think his deal got touched here. But yes, we will find out if so.
Yeah, and we'll find out at some point. But, you know, I think they were able to do it without it. But maybe we'll see. Maybe Kevin Byard said, you know what, kick me as far down the road as possible. Just make sure Harold Landry's back. Team guy, that Kevin Byard, which, by the way,
huge pay cut.
I just want to point out, it doesn't mean there's a pay cut that's involved. I know some people think that no pay cut would be involved at that point.
Now, if the term pay cut
is
used, then that's different. You know,
that is different.
Could Luan be asked to actually take a pay cut? I think that's possible. Could Zach Cunningham have a different deal that is less than his $10 million plus cap hit right now to be here? I think that's possible too. Those are pay cuts, but yeah, when you hear restructure, that just basically means largely often it means, you know, money converted into bonus money. You get it earlier, but then your cap hit is kicked down the road.
Go back to the text line. Got a texter that says, does the Landry signing mean that we go wide receiver, quarterback, or trade back with the first round pick? Wide receiver, quarterback, or trade back? What it signals to me, Joe Rexroad, is you're probably not going edge rusher, would be my guess.
Bert from Paris has many questions in a row here.
He does.
So, first of all, that's exactly my takeaway, too. Like, the one thing I feel good about is, even though John Robinson said, the first thing, here's something we read into an Indy that didn't mean anything. John Robinson said, yeah, I really like the edge rushers. Well, they're not taking an edge rusher. At least they're certainly not taking one early in this draft. So Bert, I would say, well, QB, I mean, hey, that's a maybe. That's always a possibility. If they feel like the quarterback of the future is sitting there, then maybe. But I think wide receiver, great opportunity for that. That would be my highest probability, and I'd maybe by a pretty wide margin at this point. But as far as trading back, again, I think the Titans would love to trade back if they don't have someone that they absolutely covet there. And if someone wants to trade into that spot, you can't just trade back.
Right.
You know, if someone wants in and you can get into the second round again and add a pick, yeah, I think that they would probably welcome that phone call, but it's got to come from somebody else. He also said, let's just go through all of Burt's texts. If Henry had been completely healthy, did we beat the Bengals? I don't know. He looked pretty healthy to me, but Tannehill threw three picks. How much is Landry going to cost us to get under contract? Well, the numbers are out there.
Well, this came yesterday before the contract.
Oh, I see.
Don't be going hard after Burt on the text.
Burt, I apologize, Burt. Oh, these are questions for Jared. All right. Well, Burt, you can go back at Jared today. I'm sure Jared will be.
Hopefully, he'll be okay today.
He'll be all right.
Yeah. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the Harold Landry contract on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Our buddy Kinston texting in says, with Landry locked up, it seems inevitable that the first-round pick will be on offense. Which way do you think they lean, wide receiver or offensive line? Now, Trevor Maddich was on with Stillman and company yesterday, and he seemed to think that offensive line will be the way they go in the first round, unless, there's those guys get, picked too early, and then a receiver is there. So Maddich is leaning offensive line for the Titans. I'm leaning wide receiver. Joe, I think you're leaning wide receiver too, but I guess depending on some moves they make here in the next week or so and cuts that take place, offensive line could definitely be an option for the Titans.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be. That's not a mute. I didn't start talking until I muted myself, by the way. You saw it. I think it's very close. And I mean, I think that's the answer there. If you do it the way they say they do it, most GMs say they do it, the answer should be what's your board say, what is your best player available? And again, I think between positions of need at times. It's not just like, well, sorry, but the number one guy we got here is an edge. We're going edge. Sometimes you have to factor need into what you're doing, right? But if you're when you talk about those needs, if they cut who I believe they're going to cut, it may be as simple as, well, hey, this Tyler Linderbaum is rated higher overall for us than any receiver, so we're going Tyler Linderbaum, for example.
Yeah.
Someone else on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, Matthew from Jolton says, what do you think about training for a guy like Chris Godwin, who just got tagged, did he not?
He did. I don't think it's happening.
Nah, it's not happening. I know some people will tell you that the cap doesn't exist, but I promise you it does exist.
People will double down on the cap not existing yesterday.
Oh, God. Again, is it easily manipulated? Absolutely. Of course it is, but by the way, I know we're going to talk about Rodgers later, but have we got confirmation on this Rodgers, the actual numbers for Rodgers? No. Rappaport put him out there, and then Rodgers dunked on him.
McAfee dunked on him, Rodgers dunked him. No, there's no confirmation.
Yeah. So whenever those numbers come out, I'm sure they're going to be somewhere in that neighborhood, right? Rappaport didn't make that up. It was probably premature that he put those numbers out there, but, watch the Packers, as you will well know. There are going to be some people who won't play for them next year because of that. And I understand they can structure some way, but you're going to pay for that too. And you know this. Everybody knows this.
I got a texture that says, so who are we losing because of Landry? That's the thing, though. With this contract, yes. It's not an insignificant amount of money, a $5 million cap hit. But with his cap hit this year, you're actually, I think, going to be able to keep more people than I thought you might with Harold Landry. Just based on, I was operating, if you tag him, you're talking $18.7 million. $18.7 million and $5 million is a pretty darn big difference when it comes to some players on this roster. So, yeah, I still think the players that we've talked about, like Janoris Jenkins and Roger Saffold, I think those are prime cut candidates for this group. but the cap hit is pretty manageable for the Titans for Harold Landry next year.
Yeah, I was thinking, now, even if they tagged him, like, to me, like, then you have to get a deal done, you know, long term. And I was thinking maybe 7-8 might be something that they could do, but Vin Marino has figured out a way to make it 5. So that's a nice chunk of money that you can do something with now.
Go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I've got a text that says, just hope we get the same production as last year now that he has the money. I think we have to get a wide receiver in the first with how injury-prone some of our players are. That first part of the text is interesting. You know, we hear it all the time. All right, well, this player, now that he's gotten paid, what's it going to look like as you move forward here? I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you here for certain that Harold Landry is going to be the same player next year that he was this past year. I can tell you this. There are signs that make me feel good about it. I think that he works really hard. I think he's worked really hard ever since he got here. He's been incredibly durable ever since he got here, which I think, as you have pointed out many times here on the show, is probably something that's vastly underrated when it comes to Harold Landry. We know how Mike Vrabel feels about availability. So, I mean, look, it's the NFL. Durability can change pretty quickly in the NFL, but I don't see any like glaring warning signs with Harold Landry that make me worry that, okay, well, he's gotten paid now, and now he's just going to fall off the table.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to dive into a big bag of Ruffles now because he got paid, you know? I mean, it's just based on what he's done so far with the Titans, which is, you know, really improve steadily, and then I think recently make big leaps. You know, no guarantee that the production is going to be the same, but I think I'll be very surprised if he's not hovering around double-digit sack production here in the next few years. And if that is in tandem with always being available, not being hurt, being good against the run, other things that matter on the football field, I like the move.
Brent on the text line says, we desperately need more offensive weapons in the draft, but I have zero faith our quarterback and staff can utilize them. This is coming from Brent on the text line. Zero faith that the quarterback and the staff can utilize the weapons in the draft.
I say cut all the receivers then. Think about how much money you could save if you had a no receiver offense. You go out there, you do an unbalanced line with like 7 linemen.
Hey, I'm all for more unbalanced line looks.
Yeah, man.
Not utilized enough.
A couple tight ends and just plow people, you know? Then you every once in a while you can have Derrick Henry throw it to Tannehill. See?
Well, look, I've been calling for that more. That needs to happen. He's got Derrick Henry. That's what he needs to be doing this offseason. I know like he's already started like the Instagram workout thing.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Boy. So what he really needs to practice this offseason is going through his reads in the Wildcat, because he's strictly a stare down one receiver guy, and there's some big plays out there to be had by the quarterback. Ask Mariota.
No, absolutely. No, I think you're right. You really need to work on those Wildcat jump pass checkdowns. Got to work on that. And yeah, that might be the key. That might be the key to the offense. But seriously, like, you know, there's going to be a lot of whatever they do, a lot of, well, but what about their quarterback, right?
Well, what about the offensive coordinator? I think there's going to be a lot of that too.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, I mean, it's, you know, a year ago it was okay. We'll see. If it was right around this time, I think. Maybe, I don't remember exactly, but probably a little earlier than this, the Titans announced Shane Bowen will be the defensive coordinator. A lot of people were very upset about this, very upset. Oh, yeah. And it was, well, we'll see. We'll see if Shane Bowen can, you know, if being the full-time actual DC matters, what he can do, what they can do personnel-wise. And it's on Downing now. And of course you have Tim Kelly coming in and it's on Tannehill. I mean, those are the people who are going to be heavily scrutinized, even more so than normal. I mean, your quarterback and OC already are in every single city, but I understand I understand people looking at this like after the smoke has cleared now and looking at the Titans and saying, so how is that team going to compete with those teams? I get it, but you know, you get into the tournament, you don't have to beat all those great quarterbacks. You have to win the game in front of you.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Liam texting in says, given the positive player reactions to Vrabel coaching the Pro Bowl, do you think it matters to other players around the league to see guys like Landry resign and especially Jayon Brown last year staying for a big discount? Does that stuff help us in free agency, or is it really just all about the money? This is coming from Liam on the text line.
That's a good question, and I do think it helps. Now, consistently, I don't know. I mean, there's plenty of situations where I'm sure it's just like, okay, this team's offering me this, and team A, B's offering me this. I'm going to go with the more over here. But, like, go back to that conversation, you know, who was that? Mahomes and who was that?
It was Max Crosby, I think.
Yeah, you know, I'm talking about Vrabel. I mean, I think a lot of players probably look at it that way, you know, that it would be fun to play for Vrabel. I think there's a lot of factors in free agency. Money, of course. But if it's comparable, I think something like that matters. Of course, absolutely. How it's perceived, the working environment, not the culture, the work environment.
Nice.
And even Nashville. Right? Don't you think Nashville is a draw for a young person with money? I would say it would be.
Hey, man. I saw George Kittle last night. He's hanging around.
Yeah. There you go. Aaron Rodgers is moving here.
Aaron Rodgers is moving here.
He's going to spend some hard-earned money in our city. Better spend a lot, Aaron.
Brian in Portland on the text line says, I'm just glad y'all aren't talking about Aaron Rodgers for the whole show.
Oh. It's
pretty exhausting to listen to. Well, Brian, do we have news for you? We're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers coming up on the other side. What a day it was for the quarterback position yesterday in the NFL. We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.